Lamentations chapter 4, verse 1 through 5:22. How the gold has lost its luster, even the finest gold has become dull. Sacred gemstones lie scattered in the streets. See how the precious children of Jerusalem, worth their weight in fine gold, are now treated like pots of clay, made by a common potter. And the jackals feed their young, but not my people Israel. They ignore their children's cries, like ostriches in the deserts. The parched tongues of their little ones stick to the roofs of their mouths in thirst. The children cry for bread, but no one has any to give them. The people who once ate the richest foods now beg in the streets for anything they can get. Those who once wore the finest clothes now search the garbage dumps for food. The guilt of my people is greater than that of Sodom, where utter disaster struck in a moment, and no hand offered help. Our princes once glowed with health, brighter than snow, whiter than milk. Our faces were as ruddy as rubies, but their appearance like fine jewels. But now their faces are blacker than soot. No one recognizes them in the street. The skin sticks to their bones. It is as dry as hard wood. Then those killed by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. Starving, they waste away for lack of food from the fields. Tender-hearted women have cooked their own children, have eaten them to survive the siege. But now the anger of the Lord is satisfied. His fierce anger has been poured out. He started a fire in Jerusalem that burned the city to its foundations. Not a king in all the earth, no one in all the world, would have believed that an enemy could march through the gates of Jerusalem. But it happened because of the sins of her prophets and the sins of her priests, who defiled the city by shedding innocent blood. They wandered blindly through the streets, so defiled by blood that no one dared touch them. "Get away," the people shouted at them. "You're defiled, don't touch us." So they fled to distant lands and wandered among foreign nations, but none would let them stay. The Lord himself has scattered them, and he no longer helps them. People show no respect for the priests and no longer honor the leaders. He looked in vain for our allies to come and save us, but we were looking to nations that could not help us. They wandered through the streets, so defiled by blood that no one dared touch them. "Get away," the people shouted at them. "You're defiled, don't touch us." So they fled to distant lands and wandered among foreign nations, but none would let them stay. The Lord himself has scattered them, and he has no longer helps them. People show no respect for the priests and no longer honor their leaders. We looked in vain for our allies to come and save us, but we were looking to nations that could not help us. We couldn't go into the streets without danger to our lives. Our end was near. Our days were numbered. We were doomed. Our enemies were swifter than eagles in flight. And if we fled to the mountains, they found us. If we hid in the wilderness, they waited for us there. Our king, the Lord's anointed, the very life of our nation, was caught in their snares. We had thought his shadow would protect us against any nation on earth. Are you rejoicing in the land of Uz, O people of Edom? But you too must drink from the cup of the Lord's anger. You too will be stripped naked in your drunkenness. O beautiful Jerusalem, your punishment will end. You will soon return from exile. But Edom, your punishment is just beginning. Soon your many sins will be exposed. Chapter 5. Lord, remember what has happened to us and see how we've been disgraced. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We are orphaned and fatherless. Our mothers are widowed. We have to pay for water to drink, and even firewood is expensive. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are exhausted, but we are given no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough food to survive. Our ancestors sinned, but they have died, and we are suffering the punishment they deserved. Slaves have now become our masters. There's no one left to rescue us. We hunt for food at the risk of our lives, for violence rules the countryside. The famine has blackened our skin as though baked in an oven. Our enemies rape the women in Jerusalem, and the young girls in all the towns of Judah. Our princes are being hanged by their thumbs, and our elders are treated with contempt. Young men are led away to work at millstones, and boys stagger under the heavy loads of wood. The elders no longer sit in the city gates. The young men no longer dance and sing. Joy has left our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The garlands have fallen from our heads. Weep for us because we have sinned. Our hearts are sick and weary, and our eyes grow dim with tears. For Jerusalem is empty and desolate, a place haunted by jackals. But Lord, you remain the same forever. Your throne continues from generation to generation. Why do you continue to forget us? Why have you abandoned us for so long? Restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had, or have you utterly rejected us? Are you angry with us still? Book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself, and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit when he chose. And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place the scriptures say, "What are mere mortals that you should think about man, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things." Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who is given a position a little lower than angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. But for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, though through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones who he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he has said to God, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people." He also said, "I will put my trust in him, that is, I and the children God has given me." Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived lives as slaves to the fear of death. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 23. Smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot.